Boxing with Sam Bridges on Radio Yorkshire.
It all sort of, it goes back a little bit. I mean, the guy helped write the book, Ian Ridley. We were sort of put together by, well, basically the backstory is I had a younger brother who boxed and he sadly died in a car accident. And I, you know, went off the rails a little bit, and through the my trainer Tony knew someone who knew someone, and they put me forward to see this therapist and to help me sort of get back on track and sort my life out, really. And then I was he'd also been seeing Ian, the writer, was he's a recovering alcoholic, so we were put forward together. And when my career finished, Ian had a lot of information and gathered a lot of the info from my life and the career, and he sort of put it to me up because, you know, do you think, do you fancy doing a book, an autobiography? And I mean, at first I was a little bit sceptical, you know, I wasn't too fussed about doing one, but he said, you know, it'd be like an inspiring, uplifting book and it may help others. So yeah, when he put it like that, you know, I thought, why not?
Yeah, and the book's had some excellent reviews. You know, when you scour some of the sites that are selling the book, you know, people are giving it 5 stars and saying exactly what you've just said there, that you know the tale and the inspiration and what you managed to achieve through, you know, all the hardship in your life. It is a truly inspiring story. You must take, you know, some inspiration, the fact that is what people are feeling about the book, and, you know, some of the nice words that people are saying about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's brilliant, and actually it does make me proud. And it's very easy in life to give up, and that was the thing for me. You know, it would have been easy for me to give up and give up boxing and give up on life, really. At times, I was completely, like I say, went off the rails, and you sort of turned to drink and trouble and things like that. And I managed to pull myself together. Not only did I pull myself together, but I was able to win a world title and dedicate it to my brother, which helped me more. You know, I mean, more than the title itself is on, just being able to let my brother's name live on and to do a book for my brother and dedicate it to him is an honour.
Yeah, it's a truly remarkable story, and the title of the book itself, Dazzling Darkness, you get many of these autobiographies and, you know, they end up with cheesy titles, but it is such an apt title, the fact that, you know, with your career and obviously coming from your nickname as well, but the darkness that you've had there with losing your brother Gary, take us back to around that time and, you know, the effect that it had, not just on yourself but the family as well.
Well, I mean, anyone who knows me and my family, we're very, very close, and when it first happened, I mean, I really worried. I worried about how we would sort of cope with the news, or the loss of my brother. You know, it's just, like I say, we're all so close, but somehow, we did help put each other through it. But I sort of separated myself and was looking for distractions elsewhere, and unfortunately, at the time, was going out and drinking probably too much, falling into bits and pieces, you know, trouble, when, you know, people were trying to help me, and eventually, you know, I was lucky that I've got good people around me, and they pulled me together, and they you know, sat me down, and I'm very thankful. There's a lot of people who deserve a lot of, you know, a lot of praise and thanks in the book, and I'm glad that I was, you know, through writing the book, I was able to thank these people.
There's often a turning point when people go through these times of hardship. Was there a specific moment for you when you kind of thought, right, I've got to get myself together here, you know, things have gone the wrong way, I'm spiralling?
Well, yeah, there was. I mean, I tried to go back to the gym. I went back a couple of times. On the second time I went back, I broke down. I started crying when I was doing some pad work with Tony, my trainer. And he just said, look, you're not ready now. And that's when I thought to myself, you know, I'm really struggling. I'm struggling here. And thankfully, Tony knew someone, a friend of his, who's in the book, Bryn, who had been seeing this therapist. I mean, it sounds very, I was in mental health or anything like that. It was nothing like that. It was just, I needed someone to sort of pull me together. I didn't have any respect for myself, but it was just someone to help me get me back on track. And you know, like I say, I'm very lucky. I've got some good people around me, but I am proud the book's out. I'm proud of myself, and I'm proud of my family for sticking by me.
And your career in the ring, you obviously had the initial early success in the amateurs, culminating in 2002 in Manchester with that Commonwealth gold. We saw it a couple of years ago with the London 2012 and you know, the guys from there. What was it like winning the gold in Manchester in your own country?
God, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, just to get selected for that competition was a real buzz for me, you know. In a home game, a major game like the Commonwealth, it was a real buzz. And I was only young; I was 19 at the time, and I was one of the dark horses. No one really expected me to do much in the games, but yeah, I mean, against all odds, I was able somehow win gold.
Do you put that down to anything? A lot of the 2012, you know, guys, not just the boxers, the home crowd, and just being, you know, being at home and defending that kind of British honour, I suppose. Was that anything that, you know, you felt that home atmosphere that raised your game a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. And I always remember a story. There was once where no one fancied me to do well in the tournament. I remember just before the first day before we... the first day of the boxing, we had a press day in the gym, and we all sat down in these seats, and you know, in a row, and one by one, all the England boys were getting picked out by various newspaper and radio people doing interviews, and only one who never got picked out was the only one I thought, I want to show you lot now. I'm going to show you lot. And, yeah, you know, I just had a real will to win. I hate losing, and I'm so competitive, and I think. Aside from whatever skill I may add, I just hated losing. I'm a terrible loser. I think that was. I just took each fight that came, and yeah, like I say, thankfully, I was able to get the job done.
And then in the pros, once you came back and you made your return and started winning belts, you know, the Commonwealth and the British title, European title. Did you feel you got into a good groove there, and you know things were on and up, and the will to win everything was there in place?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good going on. You know, I was finding myself. My ability, I was believing in myself, and I was gaining a lot of experience and winning these titles. It was all great, but at the same time, running parallel I suffered so badly with injury. So when something would start going good, I'd suffer another injury. There was always sort of, though there was a lot of good, you know, two steps forward, one step back sort of thing, or it was tough. But, you know, it was just perseverance, really. I think the memory of my brother was a key factor in the whole thing. I mean, there was so many times there where I'd won titles, and for a British title, for instance, that was one of my goals. And when I won that title, I was so content that I could have easily give up then and been ultra happy with what I've achieved. But the fact that I dedicated, I've become almost obsessed with wanting to win a world title for my brother, that kept me going.
Was it difficult to carry on financially? We've just been speaking to Ross Birkinshaw, the Sheffield boxer. He's had a lot of setbacks to injury, currently, you know, going through one right now after popping his shoulder last week, and you know, he was looking forward to fighting and, as he said, getting paid in November. You know, look forward to that. But with the injuries and, you know, having to pay for operations, were things tough to continue and carry on down this road?
Oh, of course. I mean, obviously, where the injuries, I've had to pull out of certain fights, and yeah, you know, though people see you on TV when you're first, you know, it's okay when you're fighting for world titles and defending world titles, then you get paid well. But to start off with, unless you're fighting regularly, you know, I'm talking 5-6 times a year, you're not earning bundles of money. So when you're having to pull out a fight, it's not ideal. And obviously, living in London, I mean, it's very expensive. I bought a new place. Once I had to pull out, I'd basically torn a muscle in my arm, and I had to pull out of a fight. It was only 2 weeks away, so you sort of you prepare yourself, like you say with Ross there, that he's expected to get paid in November, then you've got to pull out, and then you know, before you know it, you spent all the money you already had as backup, and you know, for me, I had a place that I was doing an extension on and work on, and that all had to stop, and you've got a young family. I mean, it's very difficult, but again, I mean, it would have been easy for me just to say, I'm just going to get a job now, but again, my brother, you know, the obsession of wanting to win this world title somehow kept me going, you know, and I'm like I said before, I'm proud that I was able to do it, because there was times there, lots of times that I could have easily just jacked it in.
Yeah, and you had two attempts at the world title. The first one, the first defeat of your career against Sergio Martinez. In terms of that, and you know the defeat suffered there. Did you kind of think, well, you know that was your one chance, I suppose, at having a shot at the world title?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I fought Martinez, I mean, it was just an honour to. I've won the British Commonwealth and European titles. You know, I've had a clean sweep domestically, if you like, with them titles. So I was ultra content. So then to get to fight Martinez, who was the marquee name in the middleweight division, the pound for pound number two or three at the time. I mean, he's similar to the feared Gennady Golovkin at the time. No one wanted to fight him. Two fights previous, he got knockout of the year. So to share the ring with a great fighter like that, future Hall of Famer, was another one, you know. There's another box tick, if you like, and well, because I pushed a great fight like that so close, after the fight, for a while I thought I'm not going to box again. You know, I'm content with what I've done. But then as you know, time went on, I started thinking, you know, I've really pushed a great fight like that all the way. There's no reason why I can't go on and win a world title. And I think it was that experience I gained from fighting Martinez was probably was a huge reason, rather, that I was able to go on and win the world title.
Yeah, you went off and rebuilt and then faced the Australian Daniel Gill for the IBF title. And I'm sure you've been told many times, but getting back up after being knocked down in the sixth round. So I think for many, you know, I suppose for boxing fans in general, but some of the younger fans, a bit like myself, you know, real inspiration to see you get off the canvas and then go on and win that world title. It was some moment.
Oh, I appreciate it. And I mean, if someone would have said to me before, how would your ideal world title fight go? I mean, if you could write a script of that, your up and coming world title, how would it be? And it would have been exactly how it was. You know, there was drama in it. It was a good fight. It was toe to toe. It was tough. I was fighting in America against the champion, though he was from Australia. It was just the perfect way I wanted to win a world title. Obviously, my first defence didn't go the way I wanted it to, but the way I won a world title, which I dedicated to my brother, like I say, everything was perfect. And, you know, people still talk about that fight now and more so than, you know, they talk about the way I managed to get myself up from that body shot, which I still don't know the answer to that myself.
No, it definitely seemed like you weren't going to maybe make it up, but you've spoken a lot about Gary in the interview so far, but I know you've kind of said in that moment, you know, it was kind of thinking of him that kind of dragged you back up.
Well, 100% it was. I mean, the images that were passed in as the seconds went were my brother, obviously, and my daughter, who I had at the time. I mean, I've got a son now as well, but at the time I had a young daughter. And, you know, I was so close to, you know, I was doing well up until that point, and to get dropped, I mean, I was six rounds away from changing my life. So I just had to get up, you know, not only financially would it change my life, but obviously achieving that goal, that obsession with winning that world title for my brother. So I managed drag myself up, but with the memory of my brother and my daughter at home, I managed to get up.
How do you celebrate winning a world title? We often see fighters, you know, lift the title for the first time, and you know, then the cameras go off. How did you celebrate?
I don't know how I celebrated, but I woke up with one hell of a hangover. I tell you that much.
I can imagine.
I mean, we went. So by the time you get back to the changing room and you do your doping control, the drug testing, and then you have the post-fight press conference, I mean, it's very late. So we was all staying in the hotel where the venue was, and I had a few drinks there with friends and family, and we was up early. Then I spent 2 days in New York after, where I was nursing my wounded body.
Yeah, and then you you made your first defence, and you went over to Germany to face Felix Sturm. And, well, it seemed like the injuries caught with you at that point.
Yeah, I mean, this is one thing I wanted to get off my chest in the book as well. I mean, a lot of people think I threw the fight or I went in there injured and whatnot. There was loads of things going on. Because, I mean, if I was 100% fit, there's no doubt in my mind I would beat Felix Sturm. But you have to weigh up all the options. I hadn't been 100% fit for probably 5 years before that. You know, and I never would have been. There's no way I would have been 100% fit. I've got, you know, really, really bad hips, you know, chronic injuries in my hips that will require hips, you know, a hip replacement soon. I've already had two hip operations. They never would have been perfect. So it was a matter of weighing everything up. You know, I'd been in a training camp for about 8 weeks up until the point I first hurt my hip in the gym. And I was as fit as I could ever be. So if I would have pulled out of that fight when all my supporters and friends and family had booked up their tickets, their flights and that, if I'd have pulled out of that fight and then everyone would have rescheduled again and then I've got even worse injuries, which probably could have happened, what do I do? You know, so it was a tough decision, but I went there and, you know, I'm quite proud of myself in the sense that I went there and I still give it my all and I still went there with the ambitions of winning. I still believed I would win, even though I wasn't 100% fit. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I say, I've got a young family. I've got mouths to feed, and it's my job. I'm a fighter. And, if, you know, like I say, I never would have been 100% fit, ever.
And you, after that fight, decided to retire and call it a day. You, at every point in the story so far, it seems like you were kind of maybe... Once you started winning titles, you were kind of content with that, and then there was obviously Gary's memory that was driving you on. Did you feel that you'd done it all at that point, and you couldn't really, you know, face another rehab and coming back?
No, that was enough for me. Far from it. I mean, like you said before, I could have retired years before with the titles I'd achieved to win. Another thing with that Felix Sturm fight, I mean, I'm honest enough to say that. I sit here now. Some people are born to fight, whether it's boxing, you know, UFC, or even in the army. Some people are born to fight. It's not in my nature to fight, and I set this goal out, like I said, numerous times, to win it from my brother. But when I was able to do that, I'll be honest, you know, there was huge relief, you know, and I became content and satisfied. And as a fighter, that's very dangerous. And you know, I had to fight Sturm for the money, and you know, etc. And I wanted it a fair title, but I wasn't able to do it. But I was content, so it was a very easy decision for me to make. And I made the decision in the change room afterwards. I mean, I was in a lot of pain with my hip, but I said to Tony and my dad, the two people who, you know, two of the main people in my career. I mean, there's other people involved, but you know, my dad and my trainer are two very important people. And I told them in the change room that that's my lot. I'm too content. I'm soft now, you know.
So what are you up to now? You've written the book. What's life like for Darren Barker in retirement?
I mean, it's exciting. There's a fair bit going on. I'm looking to open some gyms in the city, fitness gyms in the city. Using boxing as the main tool of getting fit. So I think we've now done our first location. That's been exciting. I mean, there's actually been a script wrote on the book that we've just had contact from a big American company that are interested in it. The family are keeping me busy. I mean, there's lots. I've been offered some other different bits and pieces. So, I mean, the last 2 years almost have gone so quickly and, you know, I've done a lot of travelling and it's been really good. It's been nice not having that discipline of having to box anymore, having to lose loads of weight, having to train and ultimately just trying to, you know, just enjoying life really. I mean, I'm happy. I'm very happy.
You mentioned there the script. Who plays Darren Barker in the movie? Have you got any thoughts?
Well, the only problem is Brad Pitt's a little bit too old to play me, so... I mean, no, that... There was a few names bandied about, but we'll see. I mean, there'll be someone did a bit of casting, I'm sure.